Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Keystone Realtors Limited, also known as Rustomjee, Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Axis Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Samar Sarda from Axis Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Ryan, and good evening, everyone. We are pleased to host Keystone Realtors Limited FY23 results conference call. The call will be led by the senior management, starting with Mr. Bhavan Irani, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Chandresh Mehta and Mr. Percy Chaudhary, Executive Directors, and Mr. Sajal Gupta, the CFO. I congratulate them for a good OCF generated for FY23, and with this, I hand over the call to Mr. Irani for his initial comments. Bhavan?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bhavan Irani, CMD of Keystone Realtors Limited. I'm joined by Chandresh Mehta and Percy Chaudhary, my partners and fellow directors, as well as Sajal Gupta, who's our CFO, along with some of my team members. We are pleased to share our financial results for the Q4 financial year 2023 and the full year 2023 with you today. First, let's begin with the Indian economy. A short brief: India is possibly today at the peak of the world and has emerged as a land of promising opportunities. The Indian economy is on a steady growth trajectory and is projected to grow at a CAGR of 6.5% per annum. This is outpacing the world, which is on an average of 2.4% per annum. We are confident that India's economy growth will continue to be driven by our private consumption and the investment on the back of government policies to improve infrastructure, logistics, as well as the business ecosystem. Further, as a result of the trends like urbanization, increase in the middle-income households, increase in income of the middle-income households, investment by international companies in creating larger job markets, and a large aspiring young population of first-time home buyers will further boost demand for homes across the country. Overall, we are thrilled about the opportunities that the Indian economy offers and are confident in our ability to thrive in this dynamic, growing market. Moving on to the real estate sector, we are happy to report that it is a strong footing with a sustained upcycle of growth. Further, the government of Maharashtra has an ambitious plan to implement planned substantial investments of over rupees 3 lakh crores on public infrastructure in the MMR. Projects like the Mumbai Metro, the Mumbai Trans Harbour Link, the Mumbai Coastal Road, the Navi Mumbai International Airport will have a transformative impact on MMR's future. That's the Mumbai Metropolitan Region's future. While the city today seems to be under construction, the effects of the enhanced infra will further boost the real estate and residential growth in the MMR. Just to give you an idea, on one single infrastructure like the Mumbai Metro 3, 23,000 crores are being spent, whereas on the Virar-Alibag multimodal corridor, close to around 40,000 crores are being spent by the government. As per the prop equity, in terms of million sq ft, new launches in MMR in financial year 2023 have gone up by 18% compared to financial year 2022. Absorption from the new launches have gone up to 47%, and the overall absorption has gone up to 35%. As a result, inventory levels have gone down from 27 months to 18 months. This is an indicator of a huge headroom for growth. Now, about Rustomjee, Keystone Realtors Limited. I'm pleased to share the key highlights for the year 2023. Financial year 2023 was a milestone year in our 27-year journey. We successfully completed an IPO. We launched a fund business. During the year, we focused on further strengthening our balance sheet by reducing the debt, giving an exit to a partner, enhancing our collection efficiency, generating healthy operating cash flows. We also ensured that we have a robust launch pipeline in place to capitalize on the ongoing uptrend in the real estate industry. We are in a healthy liquidity position and have the potential for tie-ups to accelerate our expansion with more than rupees 1,000 crores for capital deployment in new projects. In the financial year 23, we were chosen as a preferred redevelopment partner in 5 projects. 4 of these projects are redevelopments and 1 is a joint development. All these acquisitions are in line with our asset light strategy. Our redevelopment prowess, where in the past we have rehoused 1,400 existing families into new homes, is what got us the above redevelopments, and we will be rehousing 600 families in these projects. These projects have added a saleable area of 1.3 million square feet and a GDV of INR 3425 crores, that's 3,425 crores. This year we have tapped into interesting micro markets such as Mahim, Chembur, Kalyan Dombivli Belt. We will continue to look for opportunities in micro markets where infrastructure push is being seen. Our business development pipeline is robust, enabling us to achieve healthy year-on-year growth of new project additions. And as mentioned earlier, we have adequate liquidity to support this. On the operational front, in Q4 financial year 23, our pre-sales were INR 473 crores. And for the full year financial year 23, it was INR 1,604 crores. The contribution, it's notable out here, the contribution from mid-mass and aspirational segment is up at 63% of the total FY23 pre-sales as compared to 57% in the previous year. Those of you that heard me earlier said that we would be improving our base in the mid-mass and aspirational segments as these are the largest and fastest growing segments in the MMR, according to all research data. Given our healthy launch pipeline, we are working towards achieving pre-sales growth of 25% year-on-year over the next few years. I'm happy to state that due to the efficiency of our sales and collection team, we have clocked our best ever quarterly collection in Q4 FY23. Rupees 700 crore collection is up at 53% compared to the corresponding quarter last year of INR 1862 crores for the full year. We have seen a growth of 36% in collection in FY23 compared to FY22, ignoring the effect of a one-off institutional collections of 665 crores. During the year, 4 projects were launched with a saleable area of 0.6 million square feet, an estimated GDV of INR 839 crores. We continuously improve the timelines from the signing of DA to project launch. Just 2 examples, Ashiana, which we did in 8 months' time from the signing to the project launch, and Sagar Darshan, which we reduced to only 3 months. In financial year 24, we are working towards launching a project every quarter. To start the year, we have already launched 2 projects, namely Gandhinagar at Bandra East and Lavi Cluster at Thane Township with an estimated GDV of INR 900 crores. In quarter 4 of financial year 23, we have also received the full OC of Rustamji Seasons at Bandra East. This completion is achieved 33 months ahead of the RERA completion date. Moving to key financial numbers, for Q4 FY23, net revenues are enhanced to rupees INR 344 crores as against INR 234 crores in Q4 FY22. The EBITDA is up at INR 110 crores as against INR 72 crores in Q4 financial year 22. PAT has grown to INR 76 crores as against INR 42 crores in Q4 F22. The net revenues in FY23 was at INR 686 crores as compared to INR 1269 crores in Q4 FY22. The FY23 EBITDA was at INR 143 crores as compared to INR 213 crores in FY22. PAT for PAT for financial year 23 was at INR 82 crores as compared to INR 140 crores in FY22. The EBITDA margin improved from 16.3% in financial year 22 to 19.7% in financial year 23. PAT has also improved, and this is in spite of lower revenue recognized during the year. However, I would like to mention that the revenue in financial year 23 may not be comparable to FY22, since under the Ind AS accounting standards, the revenue is recognized based on the project completion method. However, due to good collections, the operating cash flows of quarter 4 of financial year 23 has grown by 120% to INR 178 crores as compared to INR 81 crores in quarter 4 of financial year 22. For the full year of financial year 23, our operating cash flows have grown by 150% to INR 459 as compared to INR 183 crores in FY22. The strong OCF has helped the company to further reduce its debt level and to increase its ability to invest in new projects. In FY23, our investment in new projects has more than doubled to INR 173 crores compared to 68 crores in financial year 22. Again, this is ignoring the one-off land purchase of 263 crores at Bandstand in the year FY22. In the next financial year, we plan to more than double the investment. In FY23, our construction spends have also more than doubled to INR 800 crores compared to INR 375 crores in financial year 22. This indicates our ability to take on a greater amount of construction activity at our sites, which will improve our collections and by improving the completion timelines of our buildings, thereby allowing us to recognize revenue at an operational level. As on the end of financial year 23, our secured gross debt is at INR 452 crores and net debt is lowest ever at INR 19 crores. Our gross debt equity ratio is 0.27:1 and net debt equity ratio is a negligible 0.01:1. As stated in our previous interactions, our endeavor continues to stay low on debt and with a maximum debt-to-equity ratio of 1:1. Strong OCF coupled with reduced debt is reflected in the improved credit rating of A- assigned by ICRA. Further, Rustamji as a group has forayed into fund management business last year under the brand Mount K Capital. Mount K Capital has received its approval from SEBI for the launch of a Category 2 AIF for its $100 million maiden fund. The fund is an ESG impact fund focused on redevelopment projects in MMR and will have Rustamji as the development partner for all its investments. The fund has achieved a first close with marquee investors like State Bank of India and Famicare investing in the fund. The fund will further strengthen the group's ability to add more projects to the Rustamji brand. I am happy to inform you that of the US$40 million raised, two commitments to projects have already been made. We have made considerable progress in our ESG practices. They say what we measure is what we can improve. Therefore, we have started measuring our carbon footprint, tracked our water usage, the recycling efforts, and the hazardous waste management that takes place on our sites. Socially, we have improved labor welfare compliance, enhanced human rights awareness, and achieved zero fatalities or any high consequence incidents at our site. Our governance initiatives include implementing crucial policies and cascading environmental health and safety and sustainability guidelines to all our employees. Our aim is to prioritize material ESG topics and set improvement targets for future progress. With that, I want to thank you for attending this call and I now open the floor to questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and 1. Our first question comes from Pranav, an investor. Please go ahead.
I'm a retail investor and the biggest worry of retail investor, biggest concern is the share price of the company. If I look at what has happened for Uttamji, it has gone down 10% versus the listing price, whereas the Nifty Reality at the same time has increased by 5%. So my question is, how do you plan to bring back the confidence in the shareholders or the retail investors when you seem so confident, so positive, so enthusiastic? How come your investors do not think about the same when I look at the stock price? That is one question. And second is, your finance cost seems to have gone up quite a lot in Q4. At the same time, when I see your debt is going down. So what is causing the finance cost to quadruple in this time period?
Great, Pranav. Thank you for the questions. I will take the first question, and I'll request Sajal, our CFO, to take the second. So first, I'd like to quote Warren Buffett, who says that when you buy a stock, you buy and hold on to it. Real estate, for sure, is one of those that I would say fits that bill entirely. Second, as far as we are concerned, I believe we are on the anvil of, like I mentioned, launching a project every quarter, and we've launched two projects already in the first quarter of this year. So we've started with a fire. It is only a matter of time that I see that the ability of our stock to increase the interest of the investor will continually grow. And towards that, as we go through the year, we are looking forward to very many wins, especially in the redevelopment as well as joint development, which is the low-cost or light asset-light model, which will allow us to grow our returns this year. And this is what will drive stock. This is what we believe will find greater interest in our investors to invest in the business, and if they do, that is where the stock prices will start seeing an upswing. But first of all, it is a long-term, long-gestation business. You will need to be a little more patient than just the 4 months since we've launched. For the question number two, I'd request Sajal to kindly take the question.
So interest cost in our business is depicted at two places. One is in the cost of goods sold, and second is in the finance cost in the P&L. Because a large amount of our interest gets inventorized and it is added to the inventory and it gets flushed out when the sales takes place on completion. Now, if you look at the interest which was embedded into the cost of goods sold last year was 17%, and I'm talking from the consolidated financial results standpoint, which in this year has gone down to 11%. So that is the kind of a reduction in the interest which is embedded into the cost of goods sold. And on the other interest, it has gone up from a 2% to 5%. So if I look at the combined, both the numbers put together, it has come down from 19% to about 15-16%. And going forward, as we have spoken last year, we have now raised the IPO in the November 22. We have retired a large amount of our debt. We have given exit to all our private equity. So interest component year on year is going to show the reducing trend. And that is one of the biggest reasons of the margin arbitrage going forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pritesh Sheth with Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead. Pritesh, your line is unmuted. You could please ask your question.
Yeah, sorry. Thanks for the opportunity. First question is on the margin improvement that we are seeing on P&L. That's purely because of the mix of projects getting completed and recognized as revenue, or something that we can see that as a trend in terms of EBITDA margin.
Yeah, thank you, Ritesh, for asking this question. So margins, as we told that in our legacy projects, have got impacted for one or the other reasons. Our gross margins, if you look at, have expanded from 22% to 36% on the consolidated financial basis. Our EBITDA margins have improved from 16.3% to 19.7%. As we basically complete most of our legacy projects, one or two projects are still there which may have a lower margin, you will see more and more the margins which are going towards the EBITDA margins that we have achieved in this particular year, and even better than that. As far as the completion is concerned, this year the revenue has primarily come from two projects. One is in the aspirational category, which is our Seasons project at Bandra East, and second is the affordable project, which is from the Virar.
Sure, and this quarter was particularly from Seasons, and hence we are seeing a 28.
This quarter is from the Seasons, yes. The completion of the Seasons was achieved in the quarter four of the current financial year, and bulk of the revenue and the margins are coming from the Seasons.
Sure. But another question is on, you know, your project addition. So, you know, this year we had a sales of around 1 million square feet odd, and we have added 1.3 million square feet of projects, which entails a ratio of like 130%. And in past we have, you know, guided, or I mean indicated of 1.5 to 2 times of, you know, sales churn, right? How should we see business development, you know, going forward, considering that this 1 million square feet this year would obviously grow? So would we be looking to add like 2.5 million square feet kind of a project, just considering that you have been indicating of this multiple, you know, or churn ratio in past? Yeah.
Hi Ritesh, thanks for that question. So yes, you're right. We've indicated that for every one, we would add 1.5 times in terms of BD. Our BD is extremely strong. We are in the process of tying up a few more projects that will get announced as the year goes by. As we mentioned, you know, between tying up a project and launching it, we are continuously working towards squeezing the timelines. And that is what is going to be our effort going forward. But yes, our business development is definitely geared up to make the investments. Like I have mentioned, we've got firepower of, you know, the ability to tie up projects with more than 1,000 crores this year. So they will be further bolstering their capacity and adding more power to themselves to be able to go and close projects.
So a couple of projects that you have already, you know, signed up from that fund that you raised, is the ones that are already announced, yeah, it's in the process of, you know, due diligence.
So the ones that we've closed in the fund are still to be announced. As I mentioned, these projects are redevelopment projects, and they come at from a particular geography. So in a redevelopment, there are a few steps that need to be taken, and those are undergoing at this moment in time and will be announced shortly.
Sure. Any pipeline in terms of GDV or million square feet, you know, in terms of projects that you are evaluating, and, you know, obviously we will take that, you know, with a pinch of salt, that some of them might get converted, some of them might, you know, not get converted. So any pipeline you want to indicate in terms of how much value of projects you are right now evaluating or at evaluation stage? Yeah.
Ritesh, it's very interesting. So I think I will just let you in on the strategy which I had expressed the last time as well. When we start bidding, we are looking at where the infrastructure growth is going to take place. We at Rustamji believe where infrastructure goes, residential real estate grows. Further, at all points of time, we continue to hold on to our position of dominance in the markets we are in, while putting our foot out into markets which we consider as interesting micro markets, like I mentioned to you, Mahim being one of them, Chembur being another, Kalyan Dombivli being a third. Third, even when we are into the bidding process, we know that there will be a lot of projects that do not come to us, but it is important that these projects do not finally go at prices which will make it a huge competition for the projects that we have in those areas. So we stay participative in that, and if those projects come to us at our decided margins, then we move ahead with those. Otherwise, we are happy to let them go. And sometimes I'm happier to say I'm not going to take this project than I am to say that I will take this project, because I know that this is a business in which one has to be conservative, one has to be careful with his cash, and one has to know what exactly is the bottom line rather than just trying to boost the top line of the business.
Sure, that's clear. And one last question for Ms. Ajal. On the debt moment, I had this confusion last call as well. So our cash flows, surplus, we have generated around 277 crores, while our net debt reduction is more than that, obviously from around 500 crores, it is now down to 1780 odd crores. So can you help me reconcile that?
So the total debt repayment, if you look at in the last year, is close to about 573 crores, if you look at a cash flow, right?
Yeah.
Which is primarily divided into secured debt of 340 crores and unsecured of 233 crores. Now, if you look at the debt chart which you are referring to, 772 has come down to 451, which is that 320 crores on the secured side I just told you.
Okay.
And the cash balance has gone up from the 251 crores to 432 crores, which is an increase of 181 crores.
Okay.
Now the difference between this 181 crores and 277 crores is a portion of the cash has moved into the mutual fund investment, and that is reflected into an investment which is about 76 odd crores. So if I have to look at gross of that 76 crores, then both basically numbers are closer to the OCF that we are reflecting in the OCF chart.
Sure. So you don't include mutual fund as part of cash and cash equivalents?
We don't include here for the reason that that is there, we are strictly going by the financials, and in the financials that is shown under the investment and not under the cash and bank balances. So to just align it with the financial number and the balance sheet number, we have depicted the cash and cash equivalent as per the balance sheet. If I add that 76 crores, then it will tie up to the operating cash flow which has been generated for the year.
Okay, got it. Fair enough. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ritwik Sheth with One Up Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is on the launches and business development. You mentioned that in the first quarter already, rather in the first 2 months already, we have launched two projects which have approximately 900 crores of GDV. So what would be the approximate launches that we are targeting for the remainder of the year for FY24 in all?
So if I may attempt to answer, we are looking at launching at least one project every quarter. Like if you look at the last quarter, we have launched, last quarter means the current quarter in the current financial year, FY24, we have already launched two projects. One is in our Bandra East cluster and other is at Thane Township cluster. So both put together, there are two projects already launched in the current year with the approximate GDV of 900 crores. As I said that every quarter we will be launching one project, like this quarter we have done two, but one to two projects we will be launching every year. And the total value of the projects that we expect to launch during the year, the GDV value of all the projects that we plan to launch in the year, should be around 4,000 crores.
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is a significantly higher number than FY23.
This will be significantly higher number than the FY23 for the reason that there is a focus in launching the pipeline of the forthcoming projects. Mm-hmm. And we are feverishly working towards that.
Sure. Okay. And what kind of business development that we can expect in FY24?
Like I mentioned earlier, you know, the business development team is working not only to maintain the dominant position in the markets we are in, but also putting itself out into markets where the upcoming infrastructure, the infrastructure growth is taking place. Very difficult for me to put a number because we do participate in most tenders of redevelopment, as well as we are reaching out for joint developments largely. As mentioned earlier, we are an asset-light model, and I am personally very concerned, and the entire team would be has a very strong push to worry more about bottom lines than to just add to the top line. So while we would continue to be a dominant, in the business development area for the areas that we are already in, namely Bandra East, namely Andheri, but for newer areas like Mahim, as well as to Chembur, as well as to Dombivli Kalyan, we would be a little more, we would be looking a lot more than we would be closing.
Sure. Okay, got it. And sir, just one more question on, slide 17. We have our forthcoming projects and we've given a snapshot of the total estimated GDV. So, can you help us understand, this 35,000 crores, are these we have received all the regulatory things and the projects are in our hand, or these are just MOUs and there needs to be more work done for these projects to be launched?
So, thank you again for asking this question. The value of 35,000 crores includes all the forthcoming projects that we have already got. That's like we have either got the LOI, or we have got the development agreement signed, or we have a conveyance of a land signed in our favor. So all these are the tied up projects. It includes two types of projects, if I may bifurcate. One is our township projects, which are primarily comprising of Thane, Virar, and Dombivli. Now these projects, especially the Thane project, which is the longest lead time project, where we have close to about 65-70 lakh square feet to develop, will take about another 8-9 years or so basically for it to be launched fully. And for completing it, for the reason that this is the one which we keep on doing it in the phases. So is the case with the Virar, about 40 lakh square feet. Dombivli, we will be doing it over the next 5 to 6 years. So this is our timeline for these projects. Apart from that, all other projects we will be launching progressively in the next 3 years, this year and another 2 years, most of these projects that we will be launching. And approvals, your second part of the question on the approvals, approvals on these projects are at the various stages. And that is how we have phased out the program of a launch in all these 3 years progressively.
Okay. So just to get a sense, out of this 35,000 crores, I believe approximately 20,000 crores would be the township projects, ballpark, and the rest would be standalone projects in various micro markets, which we are looking to launch in the next three to four years. And
yes,
the township projects over 7 to 9 years, as you mentioned.
So, again, just to answer you, we are constantly adding smaller projects which we can turn around faster, that is to say standalone buildings. We are also working on projects like Basant Park, which is fairly large. It's a 3-acre development in Chembur with more than 250 members therein. Now these projects have a slightly longer gestation period, and approvals take that much more time. So we keep a fair and a healthy mix of the projects that we can turn around, build, sell, and complete faster. At the same point of time, we have to work on slightly longer gestation projects so that we can improve our margins as we build and move along, because what we do in phase one actually gets us a higher price in phase two, thereby adding to our bottom line over time. So it's always business development has been given two or three different parameters to work on. One of them is to work on, projects in the affordable, mid-mass, aspirational, super premium categories. At the same point of time, various sizes in that. To give you an idea, that a project anywhere between 1,000 and 2,000 square meters of land could be turned around in less than a year to start, and then within 3 years after that to complete. So end-to-end cycle would not be more than 4 years, whereas projects that are larger than that are a lot more beneficial in the longer run, but they take a little longer to complete. And the general cycle of those projects would be, if they were like a Basant Park, would be up to about 5 to 6 years.
Sure. This is very helpful, sir. And so one final question, one bookkeeping question. In the presentation, we have mentioned that our gross debt is about 450 crores. But if I look at the balance sheet figure, it's coming, if I add up the short-term and long-term debt, it's coming to about 1,000 crores. So what is the difference between the two figures?
The difference between the two figures is that the balance sheet includes both the secured debt and the unsecured debt, wherein this chart is only of the secured debt. That is the difference. It is worthwhile to mention that bulk of our unsecured debt, basically unsecured debt of about 500 crores, 311 crores, is the debt from one of the group company which is in the process of getting merged into the Keystone Realtors. NCLT has already passed the order for that, and we expect that we get the certified true copy of the order in this quarter. So around 311 crores will be knocked off out of that. And the balance unsecured debt is also save and accept a small debt basically of about 13, 14, 15 crores. Most of our debt is the sort of the partner's stake into the various projects, which is either structured as the unsecured debt or it is yet to be converted into an equity shares.
Okay. So in the next couple of quarters, our net, this is the actual net debt, gross debt, 450 crores.
Yeah, 450 crores is actual secured gross debt. Okay. In addition, as I told you, that there is a small amount of the unsecured debt also, which will get added to this. If I have to give you a sort of a ballpark number, both put together should be about 500 crores or so.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Darsh Doshi with ICICI Prudential Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. So, sir, you guided for a pre-sales growth of 25%. So just wanted to understand how would it translate to our collection and OCF growth for the next 1 or 2 years?
So collection efficiency will continue to be good. This year it was extraordinarily good for the reason that there is a lot of sale of the finished goods. Even going forward, the collection efficiency is in line with what the collections that we ordinarily achieve of about 80 to 85% of the pre-sales that we do, which is a combination of the finished goods, the project which are in progress, and the new project that we launch. So on an average of the pre-sales, roughly about 80 to 85% is what we expect it to collect. OCF, we are working towards making an improvement on already very healthy OCF that we have generated in the current year. But we have to take into account one factor that we just told you, that there are a lot of new projects that we are going to launch during the year. And those basically may not be in a position to generate the OCF at the rate basically the projects near completion have been able to generate. Our endeavor is to make an improvement on the OCF from what we have done in this year, but another couple of years and thereafter we should basically be able to generate the healthy OCF about 20-22% of the inflows into the company.
Understood. So, another question would be, what would be the steady state of land-related outflows that we'll be incurring every year, if there's any ballpark number?
So this depends on deal to deal. Just to give you an idea, I had mentioned to you that in Thane, it's less than 20%. In Kalyan Dombivli, it's about 21% of collections. So these depend on the collections from these projects every year. In the redevelopments, we deploy a lot more initially. I had explained in one of the earlier calls that up to about 10% of the GDV of the project is invested before the project is go to market. After that, we usually do about 35% sales on launch, and then same amount during the life of the project, and we try to hold about 25 to 30% to close or when the project is nearing close or when it's closed, so that we can take into consideration all inflationary pressures and deal with it accordingly. So this should give you a fair idea of what the outflows are. Further, the outflows are also towards approval costs, especially in redevelopment or joint development projects, which we incur more towards the initial parts of the project, and we realize those as we go along with the completion of the project.
Understood. So is there any payment which needs to be paid for any of the existing projects that are there, any payment to any landowner? And if at all it's there, then what is the time period that we'll be paying it off in?
So no, there is no outstanding payment as such. Payment is linked to collections in all the JVs that we do. There are no out-of-pockets or carry-home money that we are giving to any of the joint development partners that we have. And like I mentioned, in the redevelopments, it depends on every development. There is a payout of close to around 10% before the project is go to market. And this again is more towards stamp duty, registration, BMC premiums, rent, and a small amount of the corpus that we give initially towards these redevelopment projects. That's it.
Understood. Just one last question. So what is the assets under development right now, and how are you looking at it at FY25 or 26 maybe, and like what all steps would we be taking to ensure that we are able to, you know, properly handle the entire area under development? So I'm saying, what's the area under development right now, and how are we looking at it in FY25? And is the are we at the right stage, as in where we can handle the entire increase in the area under development, or will we have to take certain steps for that?
No, so I think already we've demonstrated by increasing more than doubling our construction spend in the last year, we've shown that we are in a position to be able to build more, build fast, so that we are able to realize better over the longer term. We have close to around 9 million square feet ongoing as of today, and 28 million square feet that is in various stages of the pipeline that we will, you know, be launching over time to come. On the bench strength of our personnel, yes, we are expanding our team to take care of locations that are slightly far flung. At the same point of time, adding technology and the people to be able to run the projects on the redevelopment front. As I had mentioned in one of the earlier calls, and I'd like to state out here, we have a project CEO kind of structure wherein individual projects are run by various people who have grown within the system, understand that particular area. So we are present in MADA, we are present in other redevelopments, we're present in JVs, JDs that are under BMC, some that come under SRA. We are in Thane, we are in Virar, and now we'll be in Kalyan Dombivli. So we need people with expertise to run these. Of course, we are all hands-on as far as these projects are concerned, and internally we have these project heads report into us, and we have an entire team out here that takes care of things like finance, procurement, etc., from the HO, and this is how we continue to, so we bolster these teams, we bolster on-ground teams, we add new professionals, we brought in some new heads over the last year, and I think I had mentioned the names of those also earlier, and all these people will add to our strength to be able to continue growing our ability to, output the projects as we get them into our fold.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Murtuza Arsiwala with Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, evening, sir. I have a question on the cash flow statement, which is on slide 23. there are two parts where I see. So there is a land and approval payments, which is showing as part of the cash flow from operating. And then there is investment in new projects. You know, how does one classify between the two? I would have just assumed that all investment is primary land, and that's how other real estate players also tend to report it. So just want to understand the differentiation between the two. And on the you know, on the forthcoming projects pipeline, while you've sort of stated the GDV and the cost to complete, you know, the net cash flow, could you also give us a sense of the company's economic interest in that net cash flow?
Sure. Thank you, Murja, for asking these questions. So the difference between the cash flow, first the cash flow statement, that is the investment in the new projects, and then the land and approval payment. So all the investments that we make till the project is sellable, or till the project, basically we do the RERA registration of the project. That is the money that we have classified below as an investment in the new projects. Thereafter, the sales can kick in after the RERA registration. And all the land payments thereafter is classified in the operating cash flow. So that's the differentiation. Before launch investment is down below, and post launch investment or the expenditure is basically part of the operating cash flow.
Okay, but in your balance sheet, both would appear under inventory.
Yeah, in our balance sheet, both will appear under inventory. Perfect.
Okay, so it's just that you're having this... So any payments which happen, which means even payments in case to any, you know, landowner, etc., happen after the launch of the project, it will appear above the line, above and as part of operating cash outflow.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Murja. That is the way basically the money is classified. Unlike some other developers who may have a larger share of the portfolio in terms of a land, you know that we are having a large portion into the redevelopment projects,
yeah,
or in the JDA projects. Therefore, our land cost continue to be even after the project is launched, and that is what comes in the line above.
And when you're putting in net collections, that's after if there is any share to be given to JDA owners, etc., the landowners.
So yes, if it is a JV project, which we are only consolidating in our balance sheet as a share of a profit, then it is not forming part of this statement. To the extent the money we actually receive from the JV project is what we classify here in the operating cash flow.
Yes. And just one last bit on that. When you're talking net collections, it is net of any share of revenue that you have to pay out, or am I reading the nomenclature right?
Yeah, net collections is net of the sales and marketing and the stamp duty. You know, the last year the government has introduced the scheme wherein you have to include the stamp duty wherever we have taken a concessional benefit of a premium. So now the stamp duty is not charged separately in these projects and they form part of the agreement value. So net of the two is what basically is shown in the net collections.
Fair enough. Fair enough, sir. And the second piece on the attributable cash from forthcoming projects, your economic interest?
So our economic interest, if you look at the slide number, let us say, just give me a sec. The slide number 10 and 9. On these two slides, we have mentioned where our economic interest is not 100%. For example, Urbania, our economic interest is 51%. Charkop is a JV project where our interest is 73%. Jyotirling again is the JV project where our interest is one-third. And the Zariwala is a DM project where we have a DM fee of 17% plus we have an incentive fee. So these are the projects, although it is forming part of the total project fourth line, wherever our interest is not 100% is what we have specified in these charts.
Sure. All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Neeraj Manseka with White Pine Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just want clarification on the slide number 17. You talked about 35,000 crores of GDV and cost to completion of 21,600 crores. can you give me a cash flow that will accrue to Mustamji net of all the expenses of all the these projects that you're talking about?
Yes, we can do that. Means like maybe offline we can have a chat that on these four projects that what could be the impact and how that will pan out, and those four projects where we do not have a 100% economic interest, we can tell you basically that what will be the net surplus which will come out of those projects as our economic share.
No, I'm not talking of four projects. I'm talking the entire forthcoming projects that you have talked about in slide number 17. How much cash flow would come to you? Because it seems from this that 35,000 minus 21,000 is the cash flow that will come to you. But there are other costs also, plus there's a joint venture partner's share also. Plus there will be tenants whom you will redevelop, putting them back. And so I just don't want to know what is the total cash that will accrue in a very broad range. In hundreds or 500 crores range also would be okay.
No, fair. Thank you for clarifying. So what we have specified here is the hard cost. In the last column of the 216 billion is the hard cost. If you look at the footnotes, we have given that we have a soft cost, which is roughly about 10% of the total GDV. Then we have also given these number net of our interest. Basically, there could be certain interest component on this, which will be outside this. So net-net, basically, the number that we expect on the net margin basis will be ranging from 20% to 22%.
22% of the GDV?
Of the GDV. Wherever we have a economic share which is less than 100%, on those projects of that 22%, our economic share will come to us.
Okay. And this project's accrue, the timeline would be the max that talked about, I think, Bhuman talked about, is that 9-10 years when the entire parcel of 60-70 acres would be completed. Is that so 65 lakh square feet would be completed. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Prem Khurana with Anand Rathi Shares. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question, sir. So I had two questions. So first one was on Mount K Capital, the fund that we've raised. So I think what I want to understand was, I mean, essentially even within this fund, I mean, you would look at redevelopment opportunities only. I mean, there was some media article suggesting that they're looking at some 2-3 projects in Bandra and Andheri, which essentially, I mean, when I look at the profile, is somewhat similar to the way it tends to be with our own projects. So, I mean, how would we decide which project would go into these this fund and which would be retained in the main entity?
Sure, Prem, I'll take that. So very clearly, there is a geography and a type of project that we have earmarked for those that we will get into Mount K Capital. And before I go there, I should tell you the Mount K Capital structure allows us to actually, with an investment that is near nothing, make a return that is fairly large on these projects. So the projects that we are taking are all in the less than 3 lakh square feet, so that we can go ahead and complete these projects in a 4-4.5 year timeline. The idea of creating the Mount K Capital was to bolster and add to our firepower of being able to acquire projects. The projects that we've taken or closed so far are both premium projects in this, and the way to define what we do in the company other than what is done in Mount K are those projects which are not in this geography as of right now.
Very clear. And so second question was, when I look at our business development that we've done during the year, so Jariwala seems to be a chawl redevelopment, which is, it'll be a assessed building. And historically, we've been much more active on society redevelopment side. So is it fair to assume, open to look at chawl redevelopment as well? As and when the opportunities arise and we find it lucrative. And also, if you could help us understand the size that you would look at, when you're approaching, let's say, as buildings, because most of these buildings and the number that you generally get to have in the market, 19,000 buildings that are already classified as says, only 5,000 have been taken up. Most of these lack size. So would you be open to kind of go a little lower in terms of the threshold that you would have for any society redevelopment when it comes to, let's say, buildings?
So Prem, thank you for that. Again, I should tell you that Jariwala happens to be under 33.5, that is a MADA. And okay. MADA is where we have a great amount of development already done under our belt. So that actually fits us very, very well. Second is, yes, that's a sizable development and allows us a top line of about 1,150 crores. Projects like these are available in the city, and that is why we are looking at the city for these size projects. We are also, as part of our strategy, where we do not get one large project, we try and take five or six projects of a smaller size, but in the same geography. I mean, when I say same geography, means a street away, etc. This allows us to control the development in that area with, let's say, the same set of resources, whether it is on the engineering side, as well as the same office for sales on the sales and marketing side, at the same point of time, allows us to grab a larger share in that particular micro market. I can give you an example. Case in point is Khernagar, where we did not get the size that we got at Gandhinagar, but even so, we've kind of bid for quite a few projects in that one geography, allowing us to create multiple projects in one location, thereby having a good grip on the development there, and also being able to benefit from the price increase or the appreciation that we get after the first project is completed to the second, to the third, etc.
And also, I mean, if you could help us understand, I mean, Jariwala is a DM arrangement. If it is a, I mean, redevelopment wherein, I mean, the upfront capital investment would not be that high, what made us go for DM? Is it that, I mean, the partner already had the rights, and which is, I mean, you had no option but to kind of go as a joint partner, or, I mean, is it as if that, I mean, you want to explore this opportunity and also want to be on a safer side, and which is, I mean, you went with DM?
So, sometimes you have to take projects because those are the only ones that are available. If you ask me whether I did it to mitigate risk, no, not at all. I'd happily take that project up for development ourselves. But given the fact that an earlier developer had put in tremendous efforts to kind of bring the project up to the level where it was, and going forward is exactly the set of skills that we would have, plus the the brand or the image of the company wherein we've rehoused more than 1400 plus families, really helped us kind of strike the right chord with the tenants residing out there and the society or the members residing out there. So it was like a win-win situation where we thought it is definitely something that is doable. Our bottom line is extremely healthy on that project, and it is in a geography which I particularly like, and I wanted to, when I say I, is Rustamji wanted to be in, because the data points towards a huge infrastructure out there. At the same point of time, a very opportunistic location. If you see where Jariwala is, it is one road away from the metro station and two roads away from mine station. At the same point of time, you know, you're a drive away from BKC, the C-Link. And if you decided to go towards town, you can reach, you know, almost anywhere in the city in less than 30 minutes. So all of this made Jariwala as a location, or Mahim as a location, very lucrative. And Jariwala was a project that was available. It was a good size and scale, allowed us to exhibit our prowess at the same point of time, you know, add to our bottom line with it.
Sure. So, yes. Thank you. That helps. And all the very best for future. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Amit Bhatt with MIT Engineers. Please go ahead.
Sir, it is great to hear from you the quote of Warren Buffett in your opening remarks. So good management started taking stock performance seriously. Sir, of late you are interacting with many institutional investors. What is your, you know, assessment? Why there is no incremental demand of our stock? In spite of the great brand and the redevelopment theme, you are not basically a normal developer. You are basically, you have started a new, you know, thing, which is a redevelopment. So how these institutional investors are taking this redevelopment theme, and why they are not interested in our stock even at a lower price? Is it low free float or something else? Can you please throw some light, sir?
So thank you for all those you know, good words. Yes, we are a company that has institutionalized redevelopment, and it's not that institutional investors do not have an interest in the stock. As a matter of fact, I could read out a list of our already existing institutional investors who are increasing their stake in our company. Further, I would like to state that I am constantly bringing to light the fact or the strengths of a redevelopment, and while it seems to be something a little more difficult to eschew, as long as you do not know about it, once you understand or once I'm able to communicate the advantages of what we are doing to the institutional investors, and it will take some time, we are constantly talking to them, it will take some time, but when it is done, I think the overall redevelopment as a whole will benefit. At the same point of time, our stock will become that much more interesting to them. So thanks for that. Our endeavors are on. I feel people are interested. It's only that they wish to know enough before they make a call. And as it happens, with all large institutions, they take a lot of time. It's like 9 months of planning for 3 months of execution. And I appreciate the way they work. At the same point of time, it is our endeavor to constantly give them more and more data, because once they are aware of the facts, I think they will make a beeline for us.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you very much. On behalf of the entire Rustomji management, I thank each and every one of you for joining us today. In case there are any further queries, please feel free to get in touch with us. We wish to be a company that shares as much as we can with each and every one of you. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Axis Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.